payoff pitch. Swing and a miss. Went with a changeup. Big cut by Odor. Strikeout number 7 for Ross Stripling. This is as good as we have seen of Ross Stripling since he became a Blue Jay. Ties his season high with 7 strikeouts.
He was awesome. I'm obviously perfect through 6. We were joking, you can call him Bob Ross Stripling today. He was painting.
You definitely can't call him Yusei Kikuchi. You definitely cannot do that. There's Blue Jays skipper John Schneider, Fan Morning Show. That lovely giggle there. And I'm a giggler myself, so I love to hear it. That's Ailish Forfar. And as she mentioned, special co-host today. Special,
right.
Maybe putting a little too much on it.
It's Brent special Cutting, I'm, for sure.
I'm here. I'm going to be here today. You're not going to be here tomorrow, but
no.
I'll be here tomorrow. The two of us reunited on Monday. There'll be a little bit of you and us on Fan Morning Show here. I'm looking forward to it. You know, the last time I was doing this, I was filling in with my buddy Sam McKee. He's going to be here with me tomorrow. And I love McKee, but he was complaining about being tired. You've got some energy. You've got some life in the morning, Ailish. So
yep.
I'm fired up.
I can't help it. I got to bring up, you know, the last week or two, it's been doomsday. Every time we sign on to the show, 6 a.m., our loyal listeners are... Uh-oh, here we go. But today, the vibes are immaculate. The Blue Jays are fixed. They are the number one team in baseball once again. The Rogers Center is electric. You got Bob Ross on the mat. I think everything is good. Like, I can't...
Agreed.
It's all fixed. And all it took was J.D. Bunkus to not be on the show, and the Blue Jays turned it around.
Oh, I was listening to you guys yesterday, and... I believe the absolute last words JD said before signing off, before the lovely Ailish hour, he said, I need to get out of here because I cannot do doomsday sad Blue Jays talk anymore. So I'm taking a couple days off. And you're right. That's all they needed was JD to get out of here. And everything's great. And look, it would have been great if you just got the Stripling of it all with that last night. But the fact that you have that 7th inning, and this is the thing. This Blue Jays team is not supposed to feel like an ace pitching a no-hitter into the 7th inning. I mean, that's great. We'll take it. It's supposed to feel like the other half of that 7th inning when Springer's going nuts and even Espinal's coming up with big hits. And you mentioned it off the top. Just the vibes. My goodness. I've been working on the broadcast a little bit. I've been down in the booth and look, you know,
yeah,
the
you're
guys,
a utility player, eh?
I am. I'm the Santiago Espinal. Yeah. You know, do I always come up with that clutch double? No, but occasionally. And just being at the park, it's been, you know, look, everyone loves being down at the dome and there's always feels at the beginning of games, but it's gotten rough real quick, real early in some of these games lately. And you just needed that. It was, I put it was cathartic. You just like an exhale. I don't know whatever way you want to put it, but it was just, you needed that moment, the way everything's been going. People were, you guys talked about dogs for like an hour yesterday on the show because who wants to talk about the baseball team?
What else was there, right?
So, God, this was so badly needed.
That 7th inning, I honestly hope and pray that we look back on that as this turning point, at least for the next month. And I seriously think there could be that kind of conversation. It's funny how one day and like the conversations we're having are so different than the last week. But we are holding on to whatever we can, okay, Jays fans? But how can you not watch what that team did in that 7th inning? The exuberance that they all showed. It was a massive sigh of relief. The stadium itself, the players, the fans, the broadcasters, like everybody needed that. I was head over heels. Oh my God, George Springer, the best player the Blue Jays ever had. It was so, so good and so much needed. And I think they've had a long string of bad luck. Like I think we can all admit that there's been poor play, but there's been some unfortunate circumstances that you're like, you know, things aren't just going their way. And they got that last night, a hard earned win, everything from the pitching to the bats getting hot, the crowd. It was just a really awesome way to go on a very big road trip here against the New York Yankees. So, you know what? Maybe this is the momentum that Blue Jays needed.
Well, it's funny because, and this tells you a little bit about me, that even in a night like that, I can see the world where the pessimist was going to win.
Yeah.
Right before they have that big 7th inning, Stripling goes into the 7th. He hasn't allowed a base runner. He's perfect. And then They get the – there was a weird play at first. Vladdy couldn't quite pick up the ball. He has the bobble. So now you got a little trouble on first base. And who comes up? It's Ryan Mountcastle. It's the guy who's absolutely slaughtered this Jays team. He is a wholly average player against every other team in the world. But against the Blue Jays, he turns into Barry Bonds. And you can just see the moment right there where every – you talk about it, the breaks that this team has got – Every other game that they have played recently until last night, Ryan Mountcastle hits a bomb and everyone's sitting there sad and you don't have the seventh inning, you know, rush that you do. And it's just you do need moments like this. And it's funny, like a baseball season is so long and it's every day. And I don't know that momentum matters as much, but these like momentum changing games do matter. This team didn't get the deadline they wanted where they had all this high powered help coming in and that was going to be the moment that lifted the clubhouse. And it wasn't in this case where Springer got off the IL and it's okay, he's going to play every day, he's healthy, he's good to go. You kept waiting for the like, okay, come on, can't something just go right for us moment? And that was finally it last night. The fact that Springer comes up in a pinch hitting role, he's able to get the thousandth knock.
Like, how perfect is that? It's
perfect.
Storybook type of momentum changer. 1,000th hit. I didn't even know he was at that point. And then it was like, okay, this is it. It can be this momentum building moment, and boom, it happens. Oh, I like a little narrative like that, right?
I love the narrative like that. And the other part about it, too, is that the thing about this Jays team is, look, like it's always going to be great because Vladdy's going to be Vladdy, because apparently Lourdes Gurriel Jr. is going to be Lourdes Gurriel Jr. now. You know, Bichette, we're going to ride the waves. But it's always going to be a great team because of the big bats that it has. But much like the teams in 15 and 16, what sets this group apart and allows it to be a special offense as opposed to merely a good one is that you have the bottom of the lineup doing damage. And, okay, George Springer's not going to be hitting six every night, but you have him pinch hitting in that spot. And then for a lot of teams, you know, your utility middle infield guy comes up in a huge offensive spot in Santiago Espinal, and you're like, well, maybe he can grind out a walk. And no, he doesn't grind out a walk. He hits a big double that knocks in a couple more runs, and then you have Kirk, and all of a sudden you're back to the top of your lineup. It's just, that was the reason I think it was so encouraging to see. And it's funny, I've just got the seventh inning up in front of me right now, and Kirk's about to hit that big double again.
What happens?
Yeah, I know, it's crazy. I'll do a little play-by-play here, and because we own the rights, that's actually not illegal. I think I could get away with doing that,
true.
But it's just that's the thing that was so encouraging. It wasn't just a well, everything went right night. It was a bit of that, but we've seen this before from this team. We've seen this blueprint of what it can look like, and it just like gives you that hope that you felt when this team's been playing well at times this year.
So Blue Jays are heading into Yankee Stadium, not to turn things into a negative.
No, we're having fun, Ailish.
I gotta play this one though, because last night I'm already, you know, snooze land. I wake up this morning, I'm scrolling Twitter. I'm, oh, what happened? Happened last night, the Blue Jays. Oh, we know that they won a nice afternoon matinee. What happened with the Yankees? Are they getting hot at the right time? This is what Josh Donaldson did last night.
High fly ball, deep right, going back, La Rosarena. See ya! A walk-off grand slam for Josh Donaldson, and the Yankees pull victory from the jaws of defeat. For the New York Yankees.
Ah, boo. But I know, but okay, so Josh Donaldson gets the walk-off grand slam. They were down. They force extra innings. They start the 10th, and they're down three runs, and a miraculous end to the, you know, the Yankees game before they head into the Bronx.
Magic.
But you know what? That's even better for the Blue Jays. They're going against a team that now thinks they're all this. They think they've turned the corner. Both teams are coming in riding a little bit of momentum, but I still feel strongly the Blue Jays have a good opportunity at hand. They needed that win. You know, we know Kikuchi will not be pitching this weekend. That is maybe a sigh of relief as well for Blue Jays fans.
Sigh of relief? God, I'm worried there's going to be like high wind warnings in southern Ontario with all the sighs of relief collectively. When I said to myself, and I don't do it very often, so this wasn't going to be in play, but I said to myself, Thank goodness I wasn't doing Jay's talk after John Schneider had the line of anything is in play with Kikuchi. Mm-hmm. Because I would have thrown out the text line of what should be in play, people. And let me tell you, it would not have been very nice.
You would have been reading some, all the inappropriate ones.
Yeah, there would have been some admissions of crimes, I think on the text line. If we would have been posing the question of what should happen with Kikuchi. I am so happy he's not getting the ball in this series. And I'm just happy they're effectively just biting the bullet with it. I could not live in a world where I have to talk myself into, hey, lefty, 97, he's not going to throw the cutter anymore. We've just seen it way too many times, and this is the thing. It's frustrating, and no one likes to do it, but at a certain point in time, you just have to effectively cut bait. I understand they want to look. Baseball players fluctuate like crazy. I'm still not telling you, Yusei Kikuchi could never, you know, rebound and be good for some team or this team in a year or two at some point in the lifetime of this deal. But this year, there was no way he could get the ball in, I don't even want to say a game of consequence. Any game. Like, it just needs to be, we need a little time. We need a little space. It's like a breakup. We just, I don't need to look at you right now.
But and the camera is always on, Yusei Kikuchi. I'm like, stop. I don't want to see him sitting there just staring into the field. Like, I know he's there. Let's move off of watching his every move. But I think it's huge for the mentality of the team as well. We talked about this last couple of days. Like, there's no way that you can put him in the starting rotation and feel like that team has a level of confidence in the direction you're going in, the level of confidence in the management, because you feel like you're punting a game. So with this big, important road trip ahead, to know that you're going to get a Mitch White start, you're going to, you know, continue with no Kikuchi, giving your team more of a chance, I think that's just going to bode even more for what we're talking about, with a little bit of momentum hopefully building for the Blue Jays. And it's a must-win type of weekend. Like, the Yankees have been not themselves. What an opportunity to go in there and continue and put a little bit of a stamp on your return to greatness. It's funny because in the text line, I mean, people are funny. Mark in Prince Edward County, you guys are sucked back in just like that after one win. All is fine now. Hell yeah, Mark. You know what? We need something this morning. What are you? I can't be a downer. Like, I can't be sad another day. We got to live in the moment. If you just put it in a vacuum last night, yesterday, success for Blue Jays fans.
Well, and here's the thing, that even in the throes of all the struggles with this team, okay, there's still questions about the pitching. Like I'm trying to be happy and positive here, so I haven't mentioned the guy who's starting tonight. You know, he's not Yusei Kikuchi.
That's right.
But I am, because here's the thing. With Yusei Kikuchi, there's no wonder. There's no mystery. Mm-hmm. It's going to hurt. It's like a Saw movie. At the end, someone's going to die, and it's probably you, okay? Whereas with Berríos, I don't know. It's like a murder mystery.
Is it a thriller? Fun? Is it like, yeah, what's that one movie where it's actually like a joke? The horror movie? Scary Movie.
Scream. Yeah, Scary
or
Movie.
Or Scream. And,
yeah. Is it Knives Out? Is it like a murder mystery? Do I have to figure out what's going to happen? Am I going to die at the end of it? Is Jose Berríos going to be the villain? Like, we don't know what's going to happen, but there is a world where good things happen when Berríos gets the ball. With Kikuchi, there was just no way. And I like that point about, you can't do this to your team. Mm-hmm. You know, we've sat here after deadlines or heading out of free agency with this exact ball club saying, oh, I thought we needed, and not this year. This wasn't the case this year, but we've seen it in years past where really thought we were getting more help, really thought we were getting that extra starter, really thought we were going to do a little bit more. And they did some stuff at the deadline, but it wasn't that big, like, let's go for it move that would galvanize the clubhouse. And unfortunately, every Yusei Kikuchi start is the exact opposite of that. It is a sledgehammer to morale. If you're able to get anything out of it, great, but you just never were. So yeah, I think they needed to just cut bait with that, and that's where they're at. Berríos tonight, I don't know what to expect. Yankees is interesting. Like you said, they've been scuffling a touch until last night, but oh man, what would you give to just have Gausman on the mound tonight instead of, I think he's supposed to get it Friday, and just have that kind of ease heading into it? Because you, again, like, I think momentum in baseball is not really, a real thing. I think there's just, you play every day and it is what it is. But my God, if you ever needed a night with momentum on your starting pitcher's side, I would have just, and I know you can't do it. You're not going to bump guys to short rest at this time of the year. But, oh man, a little uneasy with him on Barrios on the mound tonight.
I do feel like last night's game, in a whole sample size over the last couple weeks and months, I know Stripling was out for a bit, for him to come back and throw that, you know, perfect seven innings. I feel like he's starting to rise up the confidence rankings of postseason starters. And I don't know if you're ready to hurdle him completely over Barrios.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, all right. Then let's do it. Because I think your first two, obviously, we know who they would be, your first two starters. But this is a really interesting conversation, and maybe it seems a bit premature. But just the big sample size of how Stripling has been compared to Barrios, you put him in that third starting spot in the postseason.
Yeah, I think you do it. I think more the interesting question, the really interesting thing for this team is because, and it's funny, we would have said Manoa was this guy clearly. I don't know that they have a clear number one right now. I think if I had to, if they were starting a game three of a do or die wild card series tomorrow and everybody's fresh, I think I go Gausman just because of the way he's going right now. But I've said that guy has to be Manoa at other points in time. They are so clear in day. You're one and two in whatever order, who's ever going better, who's ever fresher at that point in time. But it is interesting to me of how you set it up, because obviously you want to pitch your best pitcher in game one. And if you win game two, or sorry, if you win game one, I think that changes what you do for game two. And right now, I think it has to be Ross Stripling. I don't know how you can say it's Barrios in that spot. I'm not saying he's not a part of your playoff roster. I'm not saying you're not pitching him. You're going to need four starters at some point in time, and he's absolutely going to be one of them. And here's the other thing. Feels like a bit of a dick thing to say after he goes into the seventh with a perfect game. There's no guarantee that Ross Stripling's going to continue to be this guy, okay? He has had flashes of being this guy. I believe they mentioned on the broadcast his first start as a Dodger. He was perfect or took a no-hitter into the eighth inning. He has done this before, and this has been his best season, but he has had flashes of looking like this guy before, and as long as it keeps going this way into the playoffs, then yes, it has to be him ahead of Barrios right now, but this is the thing. There's a reason the Dodgers kind of punted on Stripling. Now, most of it is because they have a ton of depth, but it's also he's never been this guy before. So I think the way it's going now, it has to be him, but I am still not ruling out Barrios finding it before the end of the year. But
I certainly hope so.
If it's up to me, it'd have to be Stripling. And then you have Barrios. If it goes rough for Stripling, you have Barrios as your right there guy, or you're the guy to kind of piggyback on him, presuming you don't need to use him in a mop-up role in one of those other games. So that's the way I would do it. Whoever it is between those two has to get the ball in game two if you win game one. If you lose game one, then obviously you go with Manoa or Gausman, whoever doesn't get it there. That's what I would do personally.
Yeah, I think I'm on the same page right now. But, you know, the one cautious thing I had going into yesterday's game, which I was really pleased with, was a shorter pitch or a lesser pitch count for Ross Stripling. I think he was in the 70s when he decided as well with the manager that it was time. And I thought that was interesting. They show some of the post game clips where he's talking to the media and he's like, yeah, you know, I was good to shut it down. You know, he's coming back from injury. He could have continued to push himself, but a mature decision on both sides that, you know what, right now they were in a spot where they weren't four or five. They didn't have the cushion that, you know, would have been the most comfortable at that point. But great to have Ross Stripling say, I don't need to push myself right now. I did a great inning. I'm just coming back from injury. The last thing you wanted to see was him get to a point where that glute or hip thing gets strained a bit, and then you have the question mark. So that's a really positive debut. Coming back from injury is not easy, and it could have been a rusty type of situation, but I was really pleased with that. That's a very positive feeling going down the end of this stretch here, is that if he was healthy and he can maintain, that's an even bigger positive for Blue Jays fans.
God, that John Schneider must be funny. He was making him chuckle up there. He had three laughs.
Let's mic him up. What's he saying?
Yeah, everyone was so fired up about what Manoa was saying at the All-Star game. You got a mic on John Schneider, and I think we would unearth a little bit of gold there. And yet, you mentioned it about not wanting to push him after coming off the injury. That's obviously important there. And I think the other important thing, not that they went to this to try to prove anything. It was the guy they had the most faith in, and it made the most sense. Jimmy Garcia needed to get out of that jam. He has kind of gone through it a little bit lately. We so often talk about the Blue Jays pen, and I don't know, maybe it's just me that I'm always guilty of this. I'm like, it's too much Adam Simber. It just always goes to Simber. But Garcia has, he's been going through it a little bit lately. So to have a guy who is going to be, you know, you figure out the pecking order between him and Bass, but your second or third most important reliever in the postseason. Obviously, Romano is your top guy there, but that guy's going to be really, really important to you. And to have him kind of right the ship, come in, and it's easy to do that when it's 6-1, but it wasn't 6-1 yet. It was a scoreless game when he came in to get out of that spot. So I just thought that was a really big kind of. Far from the big moment that they needed in terms of Springer and, man, looking like Donaldson coming around the corner with that crazy slide there. Like, it was far from the big moment they needed there. But in terms of actually, you know, what can they take out of this going forward, I think that's big. We're going to have a lot more on Jays, talking to Schulman a little later on. Anything else on the game from last night? I want to talk about this Sandin.
We got to get to Sandin, but we also have to mention the Gabriel Moreno ball last night.
Oh, yes, that's right.
If you're looking for some more excitement about Gabriel Moreno, I mean, there was, and then, you know, he had his opportunity up here, and it's been a little quiet since. Go Google his name or look his name up on Twitter. He hit a ball so hard last night, it got stuck in the wall. Like, legitimately, it does not fall. It just gets, like, plastered into the wall. I don't know if that's ever happened. Like, what do you do in that point? The guy in the outfield is just pointing at it. Like, what do I do?
So at first when it happened, because they have these like padded sections of outfield wall. And at first when it happened, I just thought it was like a very interesting coincidence that it wedged itself
into a hole that existed.
No, because it's like there's sections. Like, it's like panels of drywall, but it's padding out there. So I thought it went between the two cushions. This happened with Bichette threw a ball away and it got stuck between two pieces of padding. Okay, that can happen. That's a weird, funky coincidence. No, that's not what happened. He hit it 111 miles off of his bat, and it just scorched the left field wall, and it just stuck. It was, I'm going to go back to a drywalling comp. It's like when you punch drywall, and it goes through.
Are you working construction?
It's just a big hole. No, I'm actually like the least handyman ever. That's all.
Someone's going to text in and be like, there's no way it could have went into the drywall. That was a type of insulation foam. But we
got
construction workers listening this morning.
Oh, I know they do. I was out here with my grinder. During the All-Star break.
Right.
I know my grinders are working construction. They're going to tell me I have no business talking about drywall, but it was incredible to see it laced there and the ump. Because again, it's the minor leagues. You know, we complain about the big league umps all the time. How do you think it is down there? The umps doing the fingers around his head, like, all right, that's a homer. The outfielder is pointing at the wall, like, guys, it's
what
right.
What did they
it's
end
right
up
here.
Giving him? Just like
it would be a ground rule double.
Okay, that's what I thought.
That's what it would be. Go stick him at second.
Okay, good.
Sorry, folks, I can't tell you if he came around to score or not there. Sorry, I don't have that.
I didn't
info
see the follow up information on Twitter this morning from that.
But yes, good to see Moreno doing good things. Look, he's really, really bright piece. And here's the thing. Like, this is a conversation for another day. I think they still want him to be a part of the future here, 1,000%. But if there are changes to be made or tweaks to be made, that's as big a chip as you have in the organization to go make a splash one way or another. So here's the thing. I would imagine Gabriel Moreno in one way or another excites you next year. He's either exciting you in the big leagues or he's exciting you because he has turned into a major league player X that you've actually heard of already.
Okay.
All right.
Young guys to young guys.
Yeah. Oh, look at
boy.
You.
This
look
is a you. Less positive feeling. Luke Fox yesterday. Yeah. Luke Fox yesterday with a little bit of insider type breaking news. I didn't see anyone else talking about this. Sandin's agent says, quote, negotiations are going nowhere. Oof.
Oh, I don't like that.
I don't. That is an alarming type of wording. Not like, you know, we're still working through things, but negotiations are going nowhere. That is a bit of a pit in your stomach, considering this is the same agent as William Nylander.
Oh. So I knew the Sandin stuff. I saw Luke Fox story. I did not pick up on the same agent as William Nylander, and I just wrote beside your note in our doc here, happy I didn't see this before bed or I never would have slept. Man, okay, where are you at on Sandin as a player, what the Leafs have done with them? Because I have a lot of thoughts on this, but I'm curious where you kind of stand on this.
I think he's a great young player. I do think that he hasn't maybe proven himself as much to be having this like stalemate where he's waiting for a massive contract. I think there's a lot of factors in place as well with where's he going to fit in? Like, there's a crowded defense back there on the left side. I know Dubas has said that he likes him best on his strong side. So what do you have? Riley, Muzzin, Brody, who plays right, and Gio. Like, that's a lot of left shots back there. I think that I would be very happy for them to find a way to make this work, but I do see the concern level about trying to overpay this guy as a young player.
My concern with Sandin has been he is the poster child for... It's funny, we always think of, oh, what are you talking about? You can develop and win at the same time. Look at the Avalanche. They got this Cale Makar. Mm-hmm. That's not developing, okay? He just came on the scene.
He was a
supernova. He's an MVP candidate from the set. Like, do we all remember, I know you do, Ailish, mm-hmm. but do we all remember those first playoff games he played? This kid just shot out of the moon out of college, mm-hmm. and he should have played for Canada at the Olympics that year. But that's neither here nor there. But the guys like Sandin, who are extremely promising, young, talented players, it takes time. They have to have a footing. And the problem I have with the Leafs, and it is a criticism of the Leafs, but I'll be honest, I don't know what I expected them to do differently because I've been clamoring for upgrades on the blue line, is that Rasmus Sandin has, in my opinion, a long time ago proved he is a capable NHL mm-hmm. defenseman. He has yet to prove he is anything beyond that.
Exactly.
He has not proved that he's a top four guy. He has not proved that he can run your power play. But here's the thing, and this is my opinion. In little sample sizes of it, he's proved he has the chops to do it in bits and starts, and you need to have a chance to do that in order to be able to do it full time. And this is just the conundrum the Leafs have had, that they have had a top four on the left side the entire time Sandin has been an NHLer of Muzzin and Riley. Mm-hmm. There's no world, and Jake Muzzin took a huge step back this year, then kind of refound it in the playoffs. But for what Jake Muzzin's been for most of his Leafs tenure, there's no way you're knocking him out of the top four, and obviously Riley is not getting taken out of that spot. They go out and get Giordano, a perfect addition. Him and Liljegren were an awesome pair together, and I love the move, but it leaves you with no spot for Rasmus Sandin. And the problem is I really wonder if they're effectively letting an asset just wilt away here. Mm-hmm. Because this is a guy who, look, we all love our prospects more than anybody else does. I'm sure I, as a Leafs person, value him a little higher than he is viewed across the league. But at what point in time are you just letting this asset turn into slightly a depreciating one because he's not getting looks and he's not getting chances? I really like the player, and at a certain point in time, you just have to say, okay, sink or swim. But the problem is that if he sinks, the team will probably sink, and you cannot put the whole winning window on the development of one player. It's a really, really tricky situation they find themselves
in. I think it's a really delicate one as well, because you want to prove to him that you want to buy in his future as well. And it's difficult because I think the biggest question is he's going to want playing time, and he's going to want mm-hmm. to make more money probably than Liljegren. And it's going to be one of those bridge contracts, I believe, that it's a kind of a prove it type situation where I don't know if that's what he wants. Clearly not with the way that this is going. The only leverage he has is to sit out or to sign like an offer sheet. Like he can't do arbitration. It's one of those waiting games. And it's not a positive feeling. And I know Dubas said, like, he shut it down saying, we don't want to talk about this. And, you know, it's never a positive thing to get these conversations into the media. But it is now a conversation point. And I wonder, and I'm going to bring this up with Luke at 7:30, if they have been far away from the start, or this was going somewhere and it stalled. And I think that's a very different type of feeling. Like, if you know that they were working on something and it was close and then there was a factor, or they've just been miles apart this whole time. I'm really curious, because this agent clearly has a track record of like waiting and holding out to get his clients the best amount of money. So I think the confidence level, or the concern level, as we do this all the time, the concern index, is significantly higher than it was before I read all this information, of course. I hope Luke knows a little bit more of where this is going, how far apart they are. I don't know. I don't want to see him not start in training camp. Like, I really don't want to see that. I think he needs to have that opportunity as well to see that he's taken steps forward. He went through that injury. We want to see that he's had a progressing offseason. So I hope it's settled sooner than later. I really don't want to see an offer sheet as well, because I think that he could get scooped up.
I hate saying this because I echo everything you said about not wanting to see the player anywhere else and all of that. Mm-hmm. I don't know what these NHL GMs are doing. There is no, and again, I'm not in the room. I don't know what it takes. But if the Leafs are saying, hey, here's your 2.8 for 3 years, mm-hmm. why doesn't another team just say, here's your 2.5 for one or two? Mm-hmm. You have them as an RFA the very next year. It costs you, I think, at most a second round pick. I'd take a flyer on Rasmus Sandin for a second round pick in a heartbeat. It terrifies me. And again, this all goes back to roster construction and trying to have the best possible team to win. I have no problem with Mark Giordano being back as the third left shot D on this team. I thought he was exactly what the group needed at points in time. I have no issue with Morgan Rielly being the top left shot D on this team. No issues there. Jake Muzzin. Yeah, there's some issues there, and I was hoping that the playoff bounce back would lead to possibilities for a trade, but obviously we see how hard it is to move money and term and everything right now. And look, here's the thing. If Jake Muzzin's healthy, you probably want him as your second left shot D. And you cannot punt on having a worse decor than you had at the end of last season heading into next one. And that's just, it's tough. It really is.
I wonder, we just got a text from Josh behind the glass. Moreno did not score in that inning. Mm. He was stranded at third. It was the ninth inning and the Bisons lost 15-4. Okay. 15-4. Well, that's I don't really care that much about it, but that was a really cool play and you didn't need to tell us the score. Okay, Josh?
Gabriel Moreno launching seeds into walls and not getting to cross home plate. There's your Bisons update on a lovely, lovely Thursday morning. Oh, man, this Sandin stuff, it breaks my heart because he's just a really effective player and he can be one. But I completely understand not just handing a kid top 4 minutes and saying, all right, figure it out. Well, we expect to go on a cup run. It's a really delicate balance. You're going to have to walk, and I hope they find a way to get him under contract.
And it feels like the Leafs have been quietly progressing throughout this offseason with not a lot of news, but this coming at a time, mid-August, where right around the corner is training camp, and we're all, I think, in the same boat that there's going to be a Hall or a Kerfoot type of trade here or moving off of them if you're going to make money for Sandin. Like, they don't have the money right now, and I know you can go over the cap a little bit right now in the preseason before you have to make these decisions, but I think Hall or Kerfoot or even both of them will probably be a decision piece to make this work. So maybe that's what they're waiting on, is like, we'll open up a bit more space for you when we can find a spot for these other two players. But it has been quiet. We need Elliot to do something. Hey, buddy, get off vacation. Give us the scoop, Elliot. Like, crickets out there. We don't even know if Kadri, I just need something tangible in terms of NHL news. And this was the first thing to come across Twitter in a while. And I was like, oh, no, we don't need this to start the negative feelings in Leafs Nation, okay? We just got into positive land with the Blue Jays.
Look, here's the thing. We all know how it works, and this is the life force that the Leafs serve in the NHL. For me, it's to cause me pain, but for the rest of the league, it's, hey, look, there's just always a little mess, a little noise here, and you can take joy in that. We're the Yankees of hockey.
That's gross.
Except all the championships. Other than that, it's been great. Ailish, you've got a great A-list coming up for us. Keep bringing the text. I love them. 590. Somebody texting in that ball would 1,000% demolish drywall. So I knew a little bit what I was talking about there.
They also said that Chris in London, it's not drywall. It's Gip Rock, GYPROCK. And I said, I don't even know if that's a real word. Like, Chris is probably just throwing us under the bus saying, yeah, it's Gip Rock. Read that on air, you idiots. So I don't know.
I mean, here's the thing. It sounds like it could be a thing. But as I said to start, I don't know. A-List is coming up next. First hour, halfway done here. A-List and Brent, Fan Morning Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
It's The Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Brent and myself this morning. Hey, we always call this Baby Friday. Welcome to Baby Friday. Mm. Thursday is our Baby Friday. For me, it's actually Friday because I am taking tomorrow off, going to a cottage, going to have a very nice weekend, an A-list worthy weekend. I'm going to get some sun, and I'm going to a friend's cottage that is like on Lake Joe. Woo. She's like one of those friends.
Must be nice.
I know. So I'm like, hell yeah. Like, it's not one of those, like, you know.
Oh, good
right?
for you.
I know.
Pretty much.
Milking having a friend that has a cottage on Lake Joe. And the other day I saw in the news that David Beckham was up here.
That's right.
With Ty Domi and
Mark
Wahlberg. And they were at a cottage on the same lake. So I'm like, holy moly, there's going to be some famous people up there. She will be boating around looking at places. Oh, that's where Darcy Tucker has a cottage. So it's one of those weekends that, you know, I don't get to go up there much, but it's her birthday weekend. So she's having a nice little cottage weekend. So that's what I'm up to this weekend. A very A-list worthy weekend myself.
I'm gonna get up at 4:45 in the morning tomorrow and lock myself in the take chamber and get ready to bring you four wonderful hours of Fan Morning Show. Yeah. That's what I'm gonna
do. Well, Rick in Niagara says, tell Brent the fake grinder says good morning. So you know what? You're fake grinding once again.
Quick story about that guy. Me and McKee were shouting out all the grinders, everybody up early, and this was my favorite guy. He said, hey, I'm a fake grinder. My wife is working, but I'm retired. So I get up and pretend like I have a busy day of work ahead of me, and then go back to bed when she leaves for work. So that guy's nice.
That's like good support, though. It's a good husband.
Is it? If you imagine you're actually getting ready to leave for work, and it's like, oh, and this Bob in accounting is just going to grind me to dust. And it's like, would you shut up? You're just going to go back to bed. Don't say that.
What he needs to do, Rick, is like at least get her coffee ready, like get her a little snack.
I think he was doing that. Okay. I think he was very involved in that.
I'm sure he's going to let us know. In the text line because he's a big fan. Okay, let's get to the A-list.
Now it's time for the A-list.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
All right, lots of people grinding out there, including a lot of young children who have been picked for this year's USA Mullet Championship. This is a real sporting event, okay? And
awesome.
I am a massive fan all of a sudden. I did not know this existed, but here we are. The boldest and the bravest and the most badass kids in America are showing off their mullets. And you can actually, like, vote on this. It is a real competition. The first round of voting has passed. We have seen some incredible, incredible mullets. You got to, like, obviously, this is a audio format. Get on Twitter and type in USA Mullet Championship. These kids are like early teens or like within
awesome.
The 10-year-old range. They are passionate. They're dedicated to the grind. They're putting in work while no one else is watching. There's an awkward stage there with the mullet where, like, people are, what is this kid's hair? And then they, you know, 6 months later, like, oh, that's a dirty mullet. Some of the names of these children, Rustin.
Yeah. That's my guy.
Landry. Epic. Kid's name is Epic. Dayson, Cash. Like, these are some of these children competing in this.
Can I say one? I'm actually really partial to there just being a William.
Yeah.
He's in the mullet championships,
William.
And they don't go with Willie.
No.
He's not Willie. He's William. That's his
formal
name.
Yes,
I really
formal.
Like that. I love that. But yes, Epic is a wonderful handle, and I feel like if you have it, you have to be in a mullet contest. Same with Rustin as well.
Yes.
And I just to put a little picture for it. Mm-hmm. Rustin basically looks like if Joe Dirt turned into a baby.
100%.
Like, 100%. Just Joe Dirt as, I don't know, 4 years old or whatever.
We have an audio clip from one of the leading mullet champions. His name is, I think, the Mullet Kid or the Mullet Boy. Yeah, Mullet Boy is his name. Like, fully goes by Mullet Boy. It's funny, when he was on the news, and you know how they put, like, Brent Gunning, you know, radio host. It says Mullet Boy.
Amazing.
So this is him and his dad talking about the competition and what he would do if he won the cash prize.
For Emmett's dad, Eric, the USA Mullet Championship is all about inspiring people to bring the 80s hairstyle back while supporting a good cause.
So it started out just mullets in general. They've come back in full force, and they're pretty, I don't know, they're pretty fun to have. And it was $10 to enter, and then all the donations are going to the Michigan Wig Foundation for kids.
The winner of the contest will get $2,500. The Menominee student says he knows how he would spend the prize money.
Buy a go-kart.
That's what he said. He wants a go-kart. So we're a big race family. So I told him if he wants a go-kart to start his racing career, by all means, Dad will help you out with the rest.
This kid wants a go-kart. It is a story that just writes itself. Like, I hope this kid, I'm rooting for him. He's my number one candidate for the cash prize.
I think the only other acceptable answers for a kid in the mullet competition would have been like Pop Rocks or beef jerky. But
yes,
just a go-kart is just incredible there. Oh, that's so good. I'm really happy you brought this up because I saw this clip going the other day, or I saw this poking around on Twitter yesterday, and it's just wonderful. And please, like, do yourself a favor.
Get in there and
Google
vote,
this.
Too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Vote for my man, Rustin, just for the name alone. Or, again, formal William, if you will. Not Willie, but William.
I want to cover this story exclusively. I want to be the world's foremost USA Mullet Championship coverage here in Toronto. So I hope it's
Well, you're doing big TV stuff on Tim and Friends. They could send you down as a mullet correspondent.
I better get a Tim and Friends spot where I just rank the mullets, okay? So if you're listening, producers, bring me on. I would forego my cottage weekend possibly for this opportunity.
Don't lie. No, don't lie to yours. Come on. You can rank mullets another day. It doesn't have to be tomorrow.
That was a lie.
Yeah, that's not happening. Okay, hopefully Monday I have more information on the mullets. But yeah, take a look, vote online. I think the best mullet still is Yager. There's just, I don't think you can ever top that.
Oh,
so.
it's incredible. It looks like a wig, but it wasn't. And ding, ding, ding. That's as good as it gets.
Okay, this next one, you need to text in answers to this, so please stay tuned. Braves bullpen. In the midst of a ongoing prank war, which is always fun, AJ Minter explaining the feud from the dugout. Here's that clip.
The reason he's trying to lift your hat, though, right now.
Because I might have a little bit of stuff on my forehead because there might be a little bit of a prank war going on. But you know what? He got a good prank. It was good. It was cute. It was a good prank.
You're owning it. Yeah. Jackson Stevens put eye black on the inside of the hat today. Was that the deal?
Yep.
Following you.
I might have put a cockroach inside of his jersey yesterday, and he might have got a little offended. I didn't think he was going to freak out, but he did. And he decided to get me back today. I was a little disappointed in his joke back, but it's okay.
A cockroach is completely crossing the line. Like, if I saw that, I think I would ask for a trade.
Okay, so quickly, you actually prepped me for this, and that story alone brought up another prank that happened
yes,
to me.
Yes, please share.
I'm not the biggest animal guy, okay? Like, a cute dog, great. Just, like, keep it over there. I keep my distance, healthy distance. Snakes, creepy crawlies, any of that, I am really out on. And a friend of mine, look, we all have a weird friend, or especially when we're in our teen years. She had a snake, okay? Just, like, one of those, a little odd. God love you, Shauna, but, you know you're a little odd. And we were at, like, it was a party. There might have been some beverages involved. And at one point in time, she was like, oh, let me hold the snake. And I was like, honestly, put that thing back in the cage or I'm leaving. And then she was like, okay. But then somebody, this was, like, later in the night. It was dark outside. And somebody had bundled up, like, a whole bunch of, like, extension cords and something. And they were like, hey, Brent. And they just threw it on me. And I just ran. I was just gone.
Oh, my
I was
God.
Out. I was so terrified. And still to the, like, I'm doing the show with you right now. I live 45 minutes away from where said event happened. Snake's probably dead, I would think, by now. And I'm sitting here going, is the snake around? Is it going to get me?
I got the chills when you said that story.
Cannot have it. So, yeah, that's immediately where my mind went. And that crossed the line. That's not a fun prank.
100%. I had some pranks in college that cannot be repeated on the air because I've already tested my employment a few times with some of these stories. I want to know, though, on the text line 590-590, best pranks that you've been involved in or you've heard of. We'll sprinkle those throughout the show because it's great. It's good content.
I have another one, so we'll save that.
Yes.
If the texts are good enough, you can get another one for me.
I love that.
That is towing the line. So there we go.
Okay, so I was going to tell the story about the Yankees. Maybe I'll fit it in because I think I want to kick them a little bit now because I boosted them yesterday this morning with the Josh Donaldson walk-off grand slam. But before that, they were having just an awful stretch. Stephen A. Smith, obviously not, he doesn't mince his words. He was not happy with their performance. This was his scathing review on First Take.
the Yankees, you look like trash right now. You look like flat-out trash. You worse than how it smells from the sewers in the Bronx. And I was born in the Bronx. I know what the hell I'm talking about. I've taken the D train many times in my life. I got family on Webster Avenue for crying out loud. You're straight garbage. This boy expected from the New York Yankees. You Aaron Judge, you got 46 home runs. I appreciate that. But damn, you 0 for 4 last night, 1 for 14 over the last 4 games while y'all bleeding, 1 and 6 in your last 7 games. First time you scored a run in 3 to 4 games. Come on, y'all. Come on.
You are absolute garbage. I want that to be like a drop. Like whenever we have a story about, you know, someone doing something offside, boom. Every time that JD says a bad take, I want that. Okay, Josh?
I wish we could all be blessed with the confidence of Stephen A. Smith. Right? Honestly, his ability to just, and look, here's the thing. Like, you know, he is a mouthpiece. He's playing a character. Mm-hmm. But the guy, you want to talk about a grinder. The guy does his work. Like, he prepares. He's working all the time. But the ability to just say, yeah, am I a baseball guy? No, I'm not a baseball guy. I am going to ride in here on my high horse and just slaughter the Yankees. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say they're playing bad. I'm not going to say they're playing ineffective baseball. I'm going to call them hot garbage and then talk about some of the worst places I've smelt in my life and say that's how garbage you are. I honestly love it. I cannot believe he just has the ability to go for it so often. Ailish, you and I do this for a living. Mm-hmm. We talk for a living. And there's a little bit of, let me pick my word.
Right.
There is none of that. He's so good. And I love that you played that
clip. He's an inspiration to all of us to just, you know, let it loose, let it fly. I mean, I feel like JD has those moments.
And... Oh, he's as close as we got.
Yeah,
I will say that much.
He is. Okay. This was a great text in the text line saying, are you guys going to rate the weird food at the CNE? So this was announced yesterday. The CNE obviously coming back this weekend. Mm. Oh my God. So happy because last year was, I think, the first year in like 100 and whatever years that they couldn't have it because of the pandemic. So it's back. Obviously, with the CNE, weird foods have been released. And I have a little bit of a list and I can I'm just going to throw it at you and you're going to say, rank it or would you eat it or not?
Okay.
Let's start terribly here. Ketchup and mustard ice cream.
I cannot do this. I cannot. I am out. 1,000%. It seems disgusting, quite frankly. I love both of those things on like on a hot dog mm-hmm. or something like that. Love a little like a honey mustard on a sausage. But what are we doing? Ketchup ice
what
cream.
What are we doing?
What like, are we doing? I'm so out on
would
that.
You if you had to have either ketchup ice cream or mustard ice cream, I think ketchup.
I think I'd go mustard.
Oh,
and
good. We can go try.
No. If any boss heard that, that's a terrible idea, and you shouldn't make me do that. Because I think the move would be to go like you convince yourself like it's not ice cream. We're just mm-hmm. going to do like a smaller sample, like gelato and mustard.
Oh, these
got
are full
that
cones.
Tank. Oh, God.
Like
God,
full
no,
waffle
I
cone
can't.
Too.
Oh, I guess my thing is like the mustard. At least I could talk myself into like the tang of it. Ketchup, no. I'm just licking a tomato.
But ketchup has a little sweetness to it.
Yeah, I guess. Okay.
How about this? It's called Pirate's Treasure. It's vanilla ice cream inside an edible seashell.
do we like?
It's an edible seashell.
But like from the sea.
It's Pirate's Treasure. They went down
like,
and they got
here's
it.
Here's the thing. If it's like, hey, we made a cone or we made a waffle cone that looks like a seashell by the seashore or we it's some type of like edible crepe, so in.
It's but very interesting.
But a crustacean. I mean, I don't do seafood. I don't do seafood when it's supposed to be seafood.
What?
I have the palate of a 6-year-old. I'm just crushing chicken nuggets and buffalo chicken.
You should be in the mullet competition.
I should.
With
my diet.
Takes.
With my diet, I absolutely should be. Just give me some Mountain Dew. Give me Mountain Dew and chicken nuggets and I'm a happy man. Not actually on the Mountain Dew.
Okay. This one I would go and eat this, okay? Krispy Kreme pulled pork.
Ooh.
I absolutely love I would love to be sponsored by Krispy Kreme, okay? They are immaculate. They're it's one of a kind. You know, I just the crispy outside, the warm, hot inside. You get to watch them be made, the glazing. It is a beautiful piece of art. I also love pulled pork. I feel like there's something here. A sweetness. Okay. It looks beautiful. Also, the photo.
I can do this. This is a classic taste of I love both of these things separately. Let's yam them together and see what happens. Because, yeah, pulled pork is just such a staple. I love it so much. Occasionally, I was about to say me. My wife gets adventurous and will make a pulled pork. It's been a while for that, so I'm just going to put that out in the universe. Maybe
listening.
That will happen for me soon. Yeah, she's right upstairs. Maybe I'm talking loud enough that that this order will go in. But yeah, pulled pork, just a tremendous food, and Krispy Kreme, one of God's greatest creations. It is truly incredible. And just you talking about seeing them in the store and being glazed, I'm like, all right, Ailish, you got to do the next 25.
Form.
You got to do the next like 25 by yourself because I got to go find some donuts. So I got a hankering right now.
Okay, quickly before we're going to keep going with these throughout the show. Mac and cheese lemonade.
I actually saw video evidence of this.
No.
This looks disgusting.
Wait, are the noodles visible?
Yeah, it was like it's in like a Starbucks like Frappuccino cup or whatever.
No.
They have like oh actually this is a better example. Like you know the bubble tea?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like,
I like
they're
tea.
In the bottom like bubbles, but it's just a like it's a macaroni noodle and it's got cheese on it and Stephen A. Smith back here judging food at the X.
Do you use a straw and like suck up the noodle? Oh, like it's just it's disgusting.
That's what it looked like. It looked like one of those thicker straws for like bubble tea.
No.
So you could just get it all in there with
God, please no. No.
And If you're one of these people who likes ketchup on your, do you have the ketchup ice cream to wash it down?
This is revolting.
I agree.
We need a break. I need to go to the bathroom and just to unload. Okay, Shane Ryan. Afterwards, after the break, Golf Digest and author of the Ryder Cup, the cup they couldn't lose. What is going on in this PGA Live drama? There's always something, but it's starting to get even more spicy. That's next on the Fan Morning Show with Brent Gunning and Ailish Forfar.